Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Happy Monday, everybody.
And Mike, congratulations once again on both of us choosing a green shirt today.
I can't tell that yours is green. Yours is a different color green than mine.
It is, but still, I think we have some sort of synchronization going on in our heads, some synchronicity.
It does seem to happen more often than it doesn't, which is interesting to me. We have quite a lot to cover on today's show, or as the sports guys like to say, we're going to unpack that for you.
Mike, but, please, yes. As a favor to me, let's not use that word.
Unpack.
I don't like that.
I can't stand it. It's so overused.
Yeah.
But on this show, it's always family first. And before I talk about football, before I talk about neutering, before I talk about Milton, Jesus Christ, we're going to get a family member on, and I will let Mr. Soroka introduce our guest, because he will be an integral part of this discussion, which I can't wait for, because we have sibling alert, where we've got a brother. Go ahead, Josh. Introduce your brother to us today. I want all the details, age difference, everything, you know, why he turned out the way he did and you turned out the way you did, all that good stuff.
You requested my brother last week when you found out he was a doctor. He is a doctor,
yes.
And a college professor of English.
It is so odd to me with your ability, Josh Soroka, to
my accent,
to your accent, and also your essential mauling of the English language, and then to it. And your father was an accountant, was he not? Wasn't that your dad's job?
Yep.
So we have two educated people here, and then when I found out that your brother was a professor and
right in English,
even in English, I was gobsmacked. So please introduce your brother to our wonderful listening audience, John.
All right, so this is my brother Matt. He is
get a good look at him. There he is.
I believe he's 4 years younger than me, or about to, or
that's right.
You're not four. Are you 40?
I'm 40. Yeah.
All right, so
that's
he's 4 years younger.
Congratulations!
Than
by the way, I probably do the same thing with my sister if she was younger. When you're older, you don't pay as much attention to that. When they're older than you, then you pay attention because it's kind of like, hey, you're older than me.
Yeah, no, all the Carrie kids is are, much older than me, so I always know that difference.
All the kids are. I know all the kids are 2 years. We're all 2 years apart. It goes two, two, two. I know that. But
that's because your dad was an accountant, right? He had to have a spreadsheet.
Right. Matt's birthday is in December minus January, so I just didn't know how the overlap went. At what point is it two versus a little bit more?
Right.
Matt is also my co-host for Section 336.
So, Matt, first of all, my sympathies for the Birds. I was watching that last game, and it was unfortunate that they couldn't find their bats in that series. But I think based on what I saw with your Baltimore Orioles, I think you've got good seasons ahead. I think you got a pretty good foundation for that team, so I think you're going to have some fun. But I know it had to suck, especially since you live and die by them also, right?
Yeah, it did suck. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I really enjoyed the show. And I listened late, and so when Josh was talking about the Orioles, I was listening after they lost, but he was talking before they played. And the stupid optimism that Josh had, just so naive about this team. It was.
Did you listen to our show recorded last week?
What's that?
You were optimistic on 336 as well.
I know, but after we lost, I wasn't.
Good, huh, Rob?
I love it. They're really brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. It'll be a good episode of 336 tonight as we break down the Orioles' loss.
Yeah, we haven't even really talked, Josh. Like, we texted, but we haven't even really talked about the Orioles' loss.
I got 7 pages of text messages from Matt, so I didn't respond.
Yeah, I went a little off on the text. I should have been a phone call or something. I just went off on the text messages.
This is great. I'm already happy. I'm already very happy with our guests. So, Matt, let me do the Q&A for you, for those people that do not follow Section 233. What is it?
336, Mike. Look behind 336. Josh. Right there.
Where is it? Behind? You always say it's behind
Josh.
Right
336.
It's those behind numbers. The bottle.
Well, how the... F am I supposed to see that other three? It's covered with figurines, for God's sake.
Well, Mike, you know he loves his figurines.
Matt, let's get the particulars. You are younger than Josh, correct?
Yes, younger, more good-looking, all that stuff.
Are you, are you a married guy? Do you have any kids, all those vital things?
Yes, married, three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7.
Wow.
So, yeah, in that young stage.
That's fun.
And it's so difficult for me to do this interview because I am so filled with questions, but I'm not sure how to lay them out. I'll try it this way. So growing up, you – and by the way, Josh said that when we heard him speaking the English language, he said, you should hear my dad. Then his dad came on, and I think, Rob, you'll back me up on this. His dad came on, and he was absolutely fine.
Yeah, he sounded like
there
David
was no,
Niven.
There was not even a trace of anything that I heard.
Well,
there,
to be fair, right? He came in like his like business, like I'm like he's walking into a business meeting.
That's okay. Well,
are you not walking into a business meeting every day, Josh?
Yeah. All right. I heard the conversation too, and I think Josh trying to backtrack here, which is fine. I think I also have a little bit of that, the ing thing. I'm guilty of it.
Okay,
so I get that.
It's got to be tough for an English professor to drop the consonants. I would think
it would be if you're doing like if I was an elementary teacher teaching spelling and I'm trying to get them to spell walking. It would be challenging to say walk in and have them spell it correctly, right?
Yeah. But, did you notice, Mike? I'm sorry to jump in here, Doc, but when he said walking.
He kept walking.
Well, no, but when he said it, he had on to emphasize purpose, it, he punches right? it.
Yeah,
walking.
Yeah, I punched it.
Challenging.
Do you drop it? Do you drop it when you're just in regular conversation?
I do. I'm going to emphasize it now because I know everyone's listening for it. So I'm going to emphasize it.
Very good.
I drop it. But I have other speech issues too. Like I have a bad stutter, so we just come from a family of speech issues. But the idea, Mike and Rob, especially you, Mike, that somehow one's inability to pronounce G's is in some reflection of their ability to teach English or their ability to pursue higher education, I think is a bit.
Yes. Okay. All right. So you're taking issue with my and I think I've always I want to make sure you're aware of this. You know that when I'm talking about your brother, and I think it's really important to point this out, I mock routinely, almost on a daily basis, the dropping of the consonants. But I will also tell you that I say his intelligence is never questioned on this
right.
show. As a matter of fact, it's highlighted on this program.
I kind of feel that the dropping G mic is almost like a cute affectation. I think it's very nice.
Like completely manufactured.
No, I don't think it's manufactured. I just think it's adorable. That's all.
Okay.
All
right.
When you got before you taught college, did you ever get your ED?
Erectile dysfunction?
No. I'm just saying GED, but not pronouncing the G.
No, it doesn't work on the front. Now you're acting like the people on Facebook.
Yeah, because you're not. You're forced that. You shoehorned that in there. You really,
Mike. I don't think I told you that my freshman year of college, I was going to college in Tennessee, and I was. Pursuing perhaps being a teacher.
Wow.
So I had to go into a classroom in North Georgia to be a teacher's assistant for an English class. The problem came where I had to then teach the kids, and they couldn't understand me, and I couldn't understand them.
It happens.
That is awesome. So both of you had an interest in pursuing education, and you stayed with it, Matt. And interesting career path, and a career path that I totally respect. How did it start for you? Did you start in other areas of education, or did you pursue the master's, the doctorate, and all that higher education right out of the gate? You seem like a young guy, so that's why I asked that question.
Yes. So I started off just wanting to be a teacher. And so I got my degree and I taught English, high school English for, I don't know, like 5 years. And then, you know, the requirements ask that you go back to school for certifications, all that stuff. So I went back to get my master's And that's the first time when I went back to get my master's, I realized, oh, this learning thing is kind of fun. Because I wasn't a great student in high school. I wasn't a great student in college. Just kind of going through the motions. And then I got into it with my master's when it really was tied to my profession. And I got really kind of into learning about education. And then from there, from my master's, I jumped right into my doctorate. All the while I was still teaching kind of full time and doing this stuff on the side. And then, yeah, 3 years ago, I got my doctorate.
Is your PhD in English? Is that your area of specialty?
No, and to clarify, like now I don't even teach English classes. I teach education classes.
So you're a teacher's teacher.
Yeah, so I teach like English methods, how to teach English, and other educational classes.
I want to ask you about, because you have your experience with teaching high school English. I have a very bright son, and he's an A student, and he's very good in a lot of the different disciplines, science, math. When it comes to English, the one thing that I have noticed, and I wonder if this is the case with other kids, the love of reading, reading literature, does not seem to be as prevalent as it may have been even 10 years ago. Do you find that to be the case with kids today, with all of the devices and with all of the electronics, that there doesn't seem to be the desire to read and enjoy reading as much as they used to have it?
Yeah, and this is actually my area. A lot of my area of research focuses on adolescent reading habits. And reading habits, you see, I did that for y'all.
That's fine. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad that that's your area, because I'm looking at it and I go, I always thought that was the key to the kingdom, especially when it comes to English. And it's like, oh, Dad, I got to read the Harry Potter book. I said, it's fun. Just dive in. And he doesn't seem to, enjoy it.
And there's a drop off, Mike, right? Like, it seems like kids are interested in books up through maybe fifth, maybe sixth grade, mm-hmm. and then something happens. And this is like the research shows that it's true, that's dropped off. And the research also shows that if you look at where kids and why kids return off to reading, a lot of it points back to experiences in school, in middle and high school, the texts they were reading, the types of assignments that they were reading. And so props for, if I don't know if that's a teacher assigned book, Harry Potter, but I think part of the problem is, we're focused so much on these canonical works, right? Your To Kill a Mockingbirds, your Of Mice and Men, when we have so many other high interest, engaging, well-written, relevant texts that we're not getting our students to read. And then what we're having them do with the reading also sometimes is not relevant or authentic for them. So they get turned off to it. But it is. It's a battle getting kids to engage with reading. It's a battle getting adults, right? Readership among adults is down too.
I mean, I wish I'd do it more, because it brings me such joy when I do it, when I get a great book. I wish it happened more. Let's get back to your family with Josh.
Can I ask
Josh
a question before you
lay it on us, Rob? Absolutely.
I don't want to close it. In high school, some of my favorite teachers were English teachers, but I always noticed they had an agenda in what they wanted you to read. They had favorite books to teach. Did you have a favorite book to teach when you were a high school teacher or even in college?
I loved going back to the classics. Like, I loved The Great Gatsby. That was
good one. Yeah.
That was for me. I related a lot to that Gatsby character. Mm. We were striving after this thing, but this thing is more kind of in our imagination than real, this ideal future that we have for us. So my students didn't love it as much as I did, but.
Yeah, I have a favorite book from my 11-year-old. His favorite book, classic, Moby Dick. His favorite book. That's
Melville.
He absolutely loves it. Herman Melville. Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Let's get back to this guy. Over
the
here.
Family.
Josh.
Okay.
So
I know I'm only here so you can learn more about Josh. So, okay, bring it on.
All right. So was there first of all, in your family, three kids, right?
Four.
Okay. So it's Josh, you're the oldest, right?
I'm the oldest, yes.
And then who's the second oldest?
My sister, Lara.
Okay, and then Cheeto. There's Matt.
Yep, and then we got a sister, Robin. That's
Robin.
Matt.
Okay, all right. So,
is Robin the baby? Does she get everything she wants?
I think so.
Yeah,
classic.
Yeah, sure.
Do you mind the professions that they are in? What are the ladies doing in the family? The two girls.
Lara is in education too. She's
well. What a pause that was! Did you guys have to think about? Are you estranged or something like that? What's going on?
Well, you know how Lara is, Mike.
I know. I don't know what Lara's job is. I thought she was a vice principal, but I think now she's not.
Yeah, she just transitioned to a teacher coach in a similar role.
Is that a transition or a demotion? Because vice principal sounds pretty high up.
High up administration,
it was,
you know.
Yeah. It was self-selected to be more involved with teachers and
self-selected.
And students.
Well, now, hold on. That's a noble thing. She wants to go back to teaching, Rob. Don't cause trouble where there doesn't need to be. And
there's none trouble.
And Robin is a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And homeschooler.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I have always thought, based on the way he conducts his life, that this man, Josh Soroka, kind of dances to his own drummer, kind of does what Josh wants to do. And I'm wondering if there was a rebellious streak growing up with Josh. Was he a bit of a rebel in the family?
Oh, this is a better question for Dad, but absolutely yes, right?
Well, I was the oldest, was wrong.
What?
I was the oldest, so everything I did was wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. A little inferior.
I had to push the path.
And do you believe, Josh, that your dad was tougher on you than the other kids?
Oh, yeah.
My sister would say that constantly. By the way, with the hurricane coming to the peninsula of Florida, I'd like to thank my sister for saying, come to Maine this weekend. Anyway, we'll get back to that in just a second. At least she reached out. I'm happy about that. So a little bit of a rebel.
Isn't she paying for the hurricane?
We'll get to that later.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Bit of a rebel, Mr. Soroka, Josh Soroka, a little bit of a rebel. You two, growing up, not that big a separation. You do the podcast now. I would assume that there is a decent relationship between you two.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think 4 years now is nothing. It might have been something we were high school versus middle school, I think the
You were growing up 4 years apart. At any point, was Josh ever like your hero? Was he the cool guy? Did you emulate him?
No, he is.
Because four is a good age. I mean, 4 years is, you know, you're much more grown up than he. And I would think there'd be something he would take interest in.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly like, as a young person, following Josh around, playing when he would play basketball with his friends or something. I like to join in with his friends.
Our family is super competitive, so I don't think it's much looking up to each other.
Okay.
As competing.
I just want to be better at sports and all those other things. And yeah, I think that's true.
Because there's always got to be somebody winning, right?
Yeah. And losing.
And fighting.
How tall are you, doctor?
What, how tall am I?
Yeah, because Josh is tall.
I was surprised when Josh came down to my domicile down here in Southwest Florida, soon to be hit by a Cat 3. Mm-hmm. I have to say that I was very surprised when he walked in the door because I didn't realize what a tall drink of water. And you, on the other hand, and maybe it's the angle of Josh's camera, but you, on the other hand, you look tall. Are you tall as well?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm not on here to question your questions. Apologize for that. No,
that's all right. Throw it
go
back.
Ahead.
I can take it.
Go ahead, Matt. You question your ass off on this show.
I'm 6 foot, so I'm just 6 foot. So Josh
and Josh is what, 6'8"?
6'4".
6'4". Okay.
Four very inches, good. Mike, is quite a difference. A third of a foot right that's there.
Why do you think my wife's so unhappy?
Yeah. Well,
ba-da-bing,
ba-da
boom, ba-da bing.
Hey, he's over there now.
So growing up, what can you tell us, a personality assessment, if you will, and I will, about your brother. But what is your impression? Describe your brother to us.
Oh man! Like so growing up, I feel the rebellious streak was definitely there, and Josh minimizes it as some kind of parental disagreement with Dad. That's not I mean, we're talking about dyeing the hair blue.
There you go.
We're talking about tattoos. We're talking about managing a punk band. So no, that is full on rebellious.
And I did
days.
All that. I don't know, can then get away with everything else.
Oh, you said you're putting it in a guys where you sacrificed yourself for the other siblings.
I didn't realize Josh's big plan. Sorry,
I knocked down all the walls so you could walk through them.
And besides, how rebellious is it? I understand being rebellious by being in a punk band, but managing a punk band?
Managing a punk band, yeah.
I mean, was your tie frayed, or how did you do that?
When you're an audio engineer and trained as an audio engineer, that's the path you go.
Right.
You go behind the board.
Man, they went through microphones like an electric car goes through tires, just with...
all that singing.
Singing and dancing.
That's right.
And raging.
Oh, yeah. And moshing.
Right. Well, anyway, we love having Josh on the show. He's really taken the reins of this enterprise that we have here, and I'm pretty confident. I like him more every week, and I love his directness. Has he always been a very no-nonsense kind of guy, where if it's on his mind, it's out of his mouth?
I'm not sure. It's interesting. I never really thought about Josh as being super direct. I think...
Really?
Yeah, I could see difficult to work with, but not.
See, not I don't think he's difficult to work. I think he kind of, in my circumstance, let me know what he wanted, and just kind of directly said, "This is what I need," and you know, we went from there. That's
I get a lot of verbal abuse from him, and yeah, I've stopped crying. So that's good.
that's good around. No, I think he has.
It's the other joint you work on. Anyway,
he has a clear vision sometimes. When he has a clear vision for something, I think then he can be kind of clear and direct with what that vision looks like and acting that vision. And so, yeah, I buy that stuff.
And would you describe him as an honest person?
Yes, absolutely.
That's good. Okay. That's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I was hoping because I feel that way, and I hope. Because he's still new to me.
Brokers are honest people. We come
What's
from
that?
Honest roots. Us Srokas, we're honest people.
That's good. That's a good thing. Because when you do this kind of job, and we are all in different parts of the world, you have a lot of leaps of faith. That's the way it goes. And I'm really, really – and I like his passion for his family and his passion for his team that your dad's involved with and you're involved with. I think that is a treasured moment. I had the experience with my son yesterday, and it's so special to have interests with a son in that, and it's great. Our Thanksgivings, Christmases, family holidays, birthdays, reunions, do those things? I know you do the Outer Banks quite often when you're all there. Is that a regular occurrence? Do you guys get together for the holidays?
It's a challenge to get everyone there. All four kids and all their families.
Now that we all live all over the place,
right?
Challenge.
You're in the Baltimore area, right, Matt?
No, I'm actually in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, you're in Georgia. Okay, so you're. Are there any other? Your sister in the Maryland area, Josh?
One's in Maryland. One's in Tennessee.
Wow. Okay, so you guys are all over the lot. Wow. So
yeah, and I think at one point, until a few years ago, we were all in Maryland, and it made it a lot easier. I think we spent a lot of time in person together then.
Okay. Let me. I'm going to end this interview with your brother Matt with one. Kind of put him on the spot. I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't do that. I would like to see if you can pull one. If it's not embarrassing, super interesting story that our listening audience might not know about Josh Srokas. I would be very, very curious, man. And then, of course, you can your agenda, you can plug anything you want. You can talk about anything you want. You can ask me anything you want. But for you, is there anything that jumps to mind regarding your brother?
Yeah, there are more than one.
I like your style. I really do.
I suppose for a more recent thing that I really want Josh to talk about, on the Michael Mara show at some point, you have to ask him about an issue involving PlayStation 5s and a scam that unfortunately Josh was the victim of.
Oh, he fell prey to a scam.
I got every penny back. It all worked out.
How many
just took
text
2 years.
Messages, Josh? How long did it take to get your money back?
18 months.
And how many text messages do you think over that time?
Oh, a billion lies.
Josh, did you like, was this a get rich quick scheme?
A harebrained one, yeah.
This was a friend of mine that lived down the street from me.
A pal to PlayStation who fell off a truck.
Who somehow was like, when you couldn't get the PlayStations in stores, he worked for the distributor for Best Buy.
And really?
So he was going to get them for everyone in the neighborhood.
For pennies on the dollar, or were you paying retail?
Is this recent? Is this a Florida dude
This is a Florida guy. Yeah, this was a few years ago. This is a Florida guy.
Right.
So we all gave him some money, and then I got a PlayStation. So then he came back, like I paid him. I got a PlayStation like 2 weeks later.
Retail price.
It worked out. No, discounted the price that Best Buy pays Sony.
It's awesome.
Great deal.
Yeah.
So really $6. Not a scam at all. So then the guy comes back to
this
all
is
of
your
us.
Neighbor. Did you mention this is your neighbor?
Yeah, he's a neighbor. Okay. He lived in the neighborhood. He comes back to all of us and says, guys, let's pitch in for a pallet of these, and then we can resell them. So he proved he could get me one.
Right.
So I said, sure, here's $1,000. Let's buy a pallet of them.
Okay.
And then it didn't show up. And then he would send, like, issues. And then he was having show me a receipt from a U-Haul. He's going to has to go pick them up, and then the guy wouldn't show up, and then his ex had an emergency in the other state, so he had to go. And then
we would come on the 56 podcast, and every week it'd be a different stream of text messages.
Every week,
so why hasn't gotten
it turned into,
even with this information I'm getting right here, I'm not sure if this guy. Did we make the determination whether this guy was just an F up or whether this was a true scam?
So it took a while to figure it out. And we dragged it out with, all right, well, I know the guy personally. I've played softball with him a few years.
Oh, well, that settles it.
I know him as a friend. I've been in his home. I've played cards with him. He's a friend. So he's just a really big F up. And we all... what made the excuses worth it, and we let it drag on, is because it just became a weekly topic on our podcast.
Okay, I get it.
So, good content. But finally,
I pushed him and pushed him and pushed him to get the money back. He dropped the money off. At this point, I moved out of the neighborhood. This started.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What was that?
I thought this turned into a didn't it turn into a Facebook group?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I got the money back,
yeah.
And then I get an invite to a Facebook group, and it's a group of everyone this guy has scammed, and a list of all the lies that he's been pulling on.
Oh, so he is a scammer.
He's a scammer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that whole construction of the story of getting one discounted up front. The carrot. That's why you thought it would work.
Right. And then everyone felt bad for his wife for dragging their family into this embarrassment in the neighborhood.
Oh,
and then it turns out the wife was part of the scam, too.
Of course she was.
Usually that follows. Yep. Yeah.
So shockingly, the guy still lives in the other neighborhood. He hasn't moved away, and he hasn't been arrested yet. But there's
Is he still with Best Buy?
I don't think he ever. Right, don't
probably
he ever
never
was.
Worked for Best Buy.
That's, oh, okay. Right. I didn't know how he got in on
that. Yeah.
Wow. So that's amazing. Well, you know what, Matt? We would love you to come on anytime. I love chatting with you. You obviously know your way around a microphone with the podcast, with Section 336. And it's, it's fun. And I wish your Orioles best of luck. And please don't be a stranger. Perhaps a holiday visit. Maybe get some holiday stories about Christmases. Christmas
a stroke,
is
a very
by.
Stroke of Christmas.
He turned down coming in costume. He didn't
want to
do that.
That's a shame. Yeah, he didn't want to come on the regular show. Yeah, we'll get to that on today's show too. For those of you that didn't hear, Matt Soroka, do not be a stranger. Come back and visit us, okay, my friend.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Rob. It's fun.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
There you
tonight.
Bye bye.
That's Matt, ladies and gentlemen, and that's very cool. Very nice. Great having your brother on. And
I liked it. Yeah.
For me. This is, with my dull life down here, it's more and more getting more and more people on. All right, so we got that out of the way.
Now, that's not the way to say it. You say, we got to speak to him. Now let's move on.
Let me explain my dilemma, Rob. Okay. Yes. This is my dilemma. Uh-huh. It's October, and we all know what that means. I'm sitting here... end of last week, they start saying, there's a disturbance in the Western Caribbean. We don't even know if it's going to develop. It has potential, but we don't. And then it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Hold on. Where's that coming from?
What is that?
Somebody's calling me.
Is that Dr. Matt Soroka? He's offering notes.
Is it?
Oh, it fell on the floor.
And there it shall stay.
Hold on just a second. I got to go get on the floor to get it.
Wouldn't it be great if when Mike came up, he was in character? And it might sound something like this.
There's a good chance it's a phone call about how schools are going to handle things this week.
Man. Oh, it could be. Could be.
Because that's been lots of the questions.
Hold on a second. Oh, is that Carla? Carla O'Mara?
Carla's
Carla's we got to get Mike off the floor.
Carla's getting stuff out of her business. So
I see.
Let me just do this. Hold on, just a
second. Knows we record at 8, right?
Yeah, she does. But this is a hey, Mr. Man. All right, Mister. If it's not in my backyard, I have no empathy whatsoever. If it's not directly impacting me,
that's me all over, Mike.
It is you. It is you, buddy. It is you.
I hate everybody.
Absolutely, you don't care unless it affects you directly. That's the way it goes,
Mike. I care, but if it affects me, I really care.
That's exactly how it works with you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, just wanted to let you know.
Hold on, you're on the air. You're on the air. You're on the air. Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Apparently not.
I love you too.
And Rob, here is the storm.
Yeah, hold on, Carly, you're on the air because we're taping.
Bring the furniture dolly. They don't have any furniture dollies here.
Okay, all right. Hello. And you've got
the appliance dolly, but that's it.
You got the truck?
Yes, I have the truck. Thank God.
Okay, very good. Love you.
Okay, love you too.
Bye. So if you're I'm sorry, folks, but this is my real life, and you get a taste of that here. This is something where I'm sorry if I'm discombobulated, but I am.
Telling a story.
We're getting potential Cat 3, Cat 4 direct hit down here in our area. Hopefully not, but I mean, it doesn't matter. All of the coastline of all the way from north of Tampa all the way down through Fort Myers is going to be affected. They've had a mandatory evacuation.
Can you bring that map
here.
Up again, Josh? That was amazing.
Yep.
What you saw.
Here's the latest cone and path, and you can see it's big chunk of Florida.
Two thirds of the state. That's amazing.
It's a lot. I like seeing that yellow. That's encouraging to a degree, but at the same time, when Ian hit, Carla's entire shopping center was under six feet of water. So we are first and foremost today getting her taken care of. So it's very much top of mind for all of us down here, and it's a nervous time. I'm nervous even doing this show today because it's on my mind. It's top of mind. You know, not only are we talking about the storm surge, which is the most dangerous thing in a storm. We're inland, so we're okay. But at the same time, the high winds, I'm not sure whether we've experienced those kind of high winds, but it's close. With Ian, we did okay with Ian, so I think we're going to be okay with this. And we're going to hang in. We're not leaving. We're going to stay for this.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was going to ask. So you're going to hang out?
We're going to hang out. At least that's the plan right now. Yesterday, we got to the store. It was pretty stunning to see. Rob, I bet when you've been to your Costco big box store, you have never, ever experienced following people to their cars to make sure you get a shopping cart.
Yeah.
It gets
to be that way. And, you know, it's amazing because if you can say what you will about Costco, but as someone with a grocery past, they handle crowds better than any business I've ever seen.
I can't even begin to tell you how efficient they were and how we got in there.
They're
and,
amazing, but they just, I mean, there is a point of critical mass when there's so many people that, you know, you're just in that situation.
Yeah.
You were able to get in and out okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
every spot in the parking lot here taken, which I've never seen at Costco before.
I've never seen it like that. It was and by the way, when Rob mentions that, he's spot on because the feeling of angst when you saw that parking lot and then you saw all the carts gone was replaced very soon when you got in there, and they were just beautifully and efficiently processing people out. I couldn't believe how easily we got out of there. It was
oftentimes when they are the most slammed is when you get checked out the fastest. I don't know how they do it. It's like science fiction.
Yeah.
This is the funny story. So Carla's got a little over a half a tank of gas, and rightly so, smartly so. The sooner you do that, gas is today there are multiple stations that are running out of gasoline. Right. I've got we get to the gas station that's in a convenience store very near my home, and you're seeing everybody coming in. It's not a line, but they're all – and then
is
the
it the burrito
thing I
place?
See,
is it the burrito gas station?
It is not the burrito gas station.
It's a shame.
the first thing I see are the bags, plastic bags on the pumps. And so they're not they're not pumping, and a couple of them are. And then we move to the far lane, and I see, oh, there's an open pump. And we're going in with the gas tank on the right side of the car, so we pull to the left. And there's a guy right there, and he does one of the old man like
this. Yeah, move out of my way.
And then Carla starts to back up, and then he just stops. Like he's gotten his gas or something like that. And then he just stops, and then he does this again. So we back up some more, and then he rolls down the window, and she said, "Can you please move your car?" And his quote is as follows. He says, "I was trying to tell you that this pump is out of service, but since you said what you said, you can stick it up your ass."
Hey!
And Carla, and wow. Carla leans out of the car and says, "This was the response." She stands, she leans out of the car and goes, "Yeah, I want to." It was so funny.
That's how you shut him up.
He's just, and he's on his man, And by the way, he wasn't trying to tell us that there wasn't a gas. He was shooing us with his little old man backhand, which they all have. But we got fuel, and her tank is topped off, and now she's obviously picking up the box truck to evacuate her business, which has heavy equipment. The most important one is her little face washing table that she's got on this thing, and we'll be doing that today. And then
is the plan to keep the all the furniture and things locked in the box truck through the hurricane, or are you going to have to offload it when you
Carla probably making the call on that. I think that we're going to probably unload it here because we want to get the box truck back. There are other people who probably
a box truck doesn't sound like the best thing to have with a bunch of wind coming.
Probably not a really good idea if there's going to be a
every time
lot of
we
wind.
Get a hurricane, I get into a box truck in the back, and that's how I ride it out.
It's just there is fatigue, storm fatigue like you wouldn't believe down here. You know, we don't live on the coast. For the people that live on the coast, you know, when you're talking about, you know, life-threatening stuff, it's crazy.
And this is one that's supposed to come straight across the state, so it's a larger impact area than even the last one.
Including you up in
People are panicking up here.
The whole peninsula.
How's the mood on TV down there, Mike?
There's a meteorologist. I forgot what her name was. She's new, and she has channeled Jim Farrell, who is
Darren Gensler. Is that
it's name? No? She has, and I dropped her a line, and then she responded and said that I made her day. I told her about the show, and I said, "Well, I've interviewed a lot of meteorologists over the years, which I have, and that she was so composed and so controlled and so information heavy." For a young broadcaster, it was really, what are you smirking at? Ass.
And I was so impressed with your broadcasting that maybe you'd like to meet up for coffee before the storm hits. My name is Mike O'Mara, and I've interviewed a lot of people, and you're great. No tone of that at all in the letter. I can tell by your expression there was none. It wouldn't have to be before the hurricane. You guys could meet up after.
Did Rob fix his audio today?
I believe he did. But he's also a little excited because he had his reunion this weekend, where maybe he was using that voice.
We might get to that. Anyway, I'm nervous, Rob. Can't you
I know,
tell?
Mike, I know you are, and I don't think for a minute you would hit on that weather lady. It was just a joke, making light of a situation.
I understand, and that's your job. To make
Is she
light
pretty?
Yeah, she's. I mean, she's young. I mean, she's like my younger than my daughter. So I mean, it's like I don't.
What, 15?
No, I have no idea how old she really is. Okay. They bring in because she's a younger meteorologist. They bring the other guys in sometimes that I don't like because they're like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you see somebody who's really natural on camera and really has an ability, you know how I feel about. Remember when I got Jim Farrell down here on the local station? Yeah. The calm delivery is just so valued by me, and I think by a lot of people down here, where you don't need to fearmonger more than we're already freaked out. So when you just give us the information, it's We get it. And by the way,
I know your least favorite, and I think I can thumbnail it for you. These are the not young but not old. I'd say squarely in the middle of their broadcast career, excitable weather people that are doomed to stay in that market forever.
There's a guy on CNN named Chad Myers.
Yeah.
Who is the hype death doom guy of hype death doom guys, where he's like, now here's what's going to happen. I don't need that.
You don't need that.
A-hole. I don't need that tone. So
Chad.
It's on the way, and we're hoping that the effects are not severe for loss of life and things like that. And I hope people heed the evacuation warnings for my friends.
Chad.
Oh, look at the look. Look at the look. Now, here we are. Yeah. It probably, you know, that's his wheelhouse. You know, I hate that guy. But anyway, hate's a strong word.
I know, Mike, and you know, these are desperate times. When is it going to hit? And is there a chance that this is so organic and changing that it could have a different face by the time it actually has landfall?
They don't think it's going to have. They think it's going to be a 3 or a 4 when it hits.
Yeah, it went to a 3 this morning.
Right, yeah, and then it's wind shear apparently going to diminish it before it hits the coast, but not in any significant way.
Is it a Wednesday arrival? Am I mistaken?
Wednesday arrival, anytime from morning to evening, depending on where the track is. I think a later arrival if it goes further north, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay. Right. For us, they're saying my area late Wednesday evening.
Perhaps, Josh, if we could get our buddy Mike from Mike's Weather Page on again, if he wants to pop
That'd
in and,
awesome.
And visit, that would be great. So that's where we are with that. Still did not diminish my love for my beautiful New York Giants victory over the Seattle Seahawks. Go, Big Blue.
All of our teams won yesterday, Mike.
Yes. Oh, those Commanders up in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you should hear.
They got a superstar.
You should hear the hype.
I don't think it's hype. I think
he
might be the real deal. We're going to take a break. We've got some roundtable news for you when we come back later on, some beautiful video. And yes, Rob Spiewak did go to his reunion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care.
Nor did I think you would. Josh is the one who brought it up.
Thanks so much. No, I'd love to hear about it. You know that. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Hey, let's face it, everybody. We have to deal with bugs.
Bugs.
Nasty, nasty bugs. Pests. If bugs are even a minor problem for you, you have to check out our next sponsor. They're called Pesty. With summer winding down and the nights getting colder, spiders, ants, other bugs, they're looking to find somewhere warm to nest.
Yeah, you know what I hate, Mike? I hate centipedes.
Oh, Rob's house, just before he discovered Pesty, full of them.
Full Pesties, of centipedes.
Do-it-yourself pest control. You can make sure they don't choose your house. Out of all the houses in the neighborhood, they chose yours. Pesty is on a mission to provide pro-grade pest control products at an affordable price. With Pesty, there's no more waiting all day with stacks of cash for the bug guy to show up when you can spray it yourself in just a few minutes. Pesty makes a customized treatment plan for you based on your locations, bugs, and climate. And the best part, Pesty is kid and pet friendly,
yes.
So you don't have to worry about their safety. Plus, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked.
I've used it, Mike. It takes like 10 minutes to do your whole house.
You're your own pest person. It's fantastic.
You get a little thingy and you spray and it's done. That's
it. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs for less with Pesty. Head to pesty.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's pesty.com/TMOS for 10% off. And make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, this is the segment on the show when Mike offers us his tidbits.
This is Mike's tidbits. We renaming the segment?
No, I just think it's a nice way to enter. Because let's say you're the first person.
Josh, are you experiencing the raw joy that Rob is experiencing with me getting a direct hit from a Cat 3 hurricane?
Oh, you are not oversensitive, are you, about it? I don't have any joy in my heart at all about that.
I think we had a good weekend. And Rob's just excited this morning.
Good.
I don't think it's about the hurricane.
No. Okay. We're going to start today with a celebration of life that was held for Richard Simmons. at a cathedral in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's his hometown, right?
I believe
it is.
Was it the big one on Jackson Square, that big
church? I'm not sure. It might say, but I'm not sure. Okay. He passed away July 13th from heart disease and complications from a recent fall. His brother, Lenny Simmons.
Yes. Who often toured as Richard Simmons. It was a Gallagher-like situation.
He let everyone know that Richard was buried in his classic workout gear.
Good. That's how he would have it.
Here's the quote. Just like Clark Kent, underneath his beautiful things that he was wearing, his clothing, Richard is wearing a tank top and shorts. Why, you ask? Because we think that God has another plan for him. We want to make sure that he was going to be in his normal costume that we all know and love to help the saints and the angels get into shape. Richard Simmons will forever be sweating with the holies. That's kind of cute and funny. I like that.
Yeah,
it's kind of keeping it light, right?
I've always thought that, you know, it must be very strange to be a mortician and the requests that you get.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it can't be easy to dress a dead body because it's not, you know, I don't know how flexible they are or anything. And if you bring in an extra layer, like, hey, we're going to want him in a tank top and shorts as well, that seems like a big ask. I don't know.
Well, it's what they do, right? It's what
know,
the morticians do. And like with the tank top and those little shorts, it's like having underwear on, right? He's probably
that's what you've always said.
Yes, exactly.
I think it's
Attention sports fans. Do you love winning? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million members. It's super easy. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, sit back, and watch the winnings roll in. How about a guaranteed win every week in September? Yep. Just one, yes, one, Caleb Williams passing yard gets you a win each football weekend this month. That's 4 weeks of easy W's. But don't sleep on it. This deal vanishes when September ends. But wait, there's more. Worried about injuries ruining your lineup? Relax. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. If your player leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, your lineup stays in play. No more stressing over those unexpected injuries. This weekend, I'm taking Derrick Henry for more than 70 rushing yards and Daniel Jones for less than 193 passing yards. Two picks I feel great about. The best part is you can win up to 100 times your money with just 4 correct picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today, use code TMOS, and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. That's right, $50 free. Just for giving it a shot. More winning, less stressing. Prize Picks is where the fun begins. With MyBookie, you're not just watching football, you're cashing in on the action. Risk-free bets, thousands in cash prizes, and epic rewards every single week. The best part is, you can bet on any game, anytime, anywhere, straight from your phone. Check out MyBookie.ag and use our code MikeOMara to get started. It's MyBookie's 10-year anniversary, and they're rolling out the red carpet for bettors. Bet big and bet confident with risk-free Thursdays. If your boosted bet doesn't hit, you'll get your money back. Weekly, no sweat, win-win bets all season long. For those of you who have been playing with MyBookie, they've got something for you too, a brand new loyalty rewards program. In MyBookie Plus, it's simple. The more you play, the more you earn. And as you progress through the tiers, unlock exclusive promotions, epic giveaways, and cash back in your account. Make your football season a winning season with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, only with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara. No spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie. Light them up!
Easier to dress a dead guy. Because you just bend or break whatever you need to.
But what if the joints don't do because the rigor mortis sets in? I don't know if that is.
I think you just snap it.
Oh, it's gross.
This is so dark. This is so very, very dark. But
you know, it lives in my head, Mike. It lives in my head.
We'll get a guest for you, Rob.
Thank you.
Everybody's talking about, speaking of death, Lyle and Eric Menendez, thanks to the new show, which I've started, Rob. I believe you.
I think
it's going to be good.
I haven't gotten to the end yet.
The Lyle and Eric Menendez story. The brothers are also getting a huge increase in mail, according to a source at the San Diego prison where they're serving life for the murder of their parents. That mail includes, God,
what?
People are sick, autograph requests.
Sure.
And one of the items people want signed is a 1990 Mark Jackson basketball card. Why? Because they're on it. The picture in the card shows Jackson, who was on the New York Knicks at the time.
I've seen it, yeah.
Mid-pass, and Lyle and Eric are behind him. What the F with people? Really?
The other
what
thing
the F? Send me your
the other
autograph.
Thing that's so weird is that, you know, they have moderate amount of freedom in the prison because of, you know, years of good behavior. They're also selling PlayStation 5s. I had no idea.
Well, here Make is sure. the card with the brothers in the background.
Yeah, there they are.
Oh, there they are. Courtside, of course.
The wig looks great.
Yeah, I see that. I can't wait to get to that part.
It's so fun.
It's an interesting.
It's a dark show. I hate to call it fun.
Our culture is sick. Our culture is ill. I mean, it is. It really is when you think about what we love and what we pay attention
there's
to.
There's also been a bump in downloads and streaming of Milli Vanilli and other music of that era that's used in the soundtrack of the movie. Which is garbage.
God, that is very, very, very strange. Taylor Swift just added another pleat to her cape. She is now the richest female musician in the world. Taylor's worth is an estimated, you ready for this?
Yeah.
$1.6 billion.
I would have guessed it was a country singing lady with red hair. I thought she would have a lot of money.
I would think that would be Dolly Parton, not the one you're talking about.
Right? Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
She's got all that TV money. She got that sweet AGT money.
Taylor is also the second richest musician overall behind Jay-Z. Jay-Z, who might be implicated in some of the Diddy stuff. Let me see. He's got a pretty substantial lead. He's worth $2.5 billion. That's probably Beyonce money, wouldn't you think? Right?
Yeah, a lot of it. But you know what? I think that Paul is pretty close, probably, to $2.5 billion. Let me check.
You always have to get Paul.
Well, no, I'm just curious.
It's always about Paul.
No, and Mike, in a way, it pisses me off because it's because he continues to sell stuff that I have to buy.
Rihanna still keeps the title of richest female musician of all time because she was once worth $1.77 billion. But Taylor Swift might eclipse that once the Eras Tour is finished. On a related note, Taylor was not at Travis Kelce's birthday celebration over the weekend.
Ooh.
But fear not, Travis says she will be at tonight's Chiefs game.
That's
playing Monday Night
news.
Football tonight? I didn't know that. All right. Another Monday
Night
for
them. Wow, Mike, I stand corrected. $1.27 billion. So
there
not that much for him. And that's
hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
1 billion pounds.
And Dolly Parton's only $450
million. Wow. I'm surprised at that.
Well, Mike, that's because COVID was bad for the theme park scene.
ADHD is not a disability. It's a superpower. At least that's how Paris Hilton sees it. The quote is, ADHD gives me creativity, resilience, and the ability to think outside the box, qualities I consider my greatest strengths. She adds, quote, ADHD isn't about being lazy or unmotivated. In fact, we can be incredibly driven and productive when something interests us. People often don't realize how much effort it takes to manage the constant mental noise and energy that comes with ADHD. It's exhausting at times, but it doesn't mean that we're any less capable. Look, a butterfly.
Now, am I the only one who still likes her? I think she's cool.
Paris
Hilton?
Really
do. Yeah, I think she went through that
Was she ever cool?
Yeah, I mean, the way she got through that reality show with Lionel Richie's daughter and continued to be Paris Hilton and make her own brand. And I know the
and he's giving me crap about the meteorologist.
I never called her.
This is the horn doggy. That's
well,
what
sure,
he likes.
Well, sure, she's lovely.
It's all about the sex tape that he watched
that was
hours and hours on end. Hours.
Because wasn't the whole reality show was about her being dumb, not cool.
And apparently she has a very high IQ. I have seen that on other others. Yeah. Boy, calm down, Rob. I mean, I just mentioned this. I didn't know you were a Paris fan. I had no idea.
I love Paris in the spring.
You love her.
I love Paris in the fall. Yes.
Okay.
She's quite an interesting figure.
Sure.
You don't think so?
What's that?
You don't think she is intriguing?
I don't spend any time thinking about her, Rob. I really don't. And she has a song called ADHD on her new album. She says it's, quote, my way of saying that it's okay to be different. And, in fact, in those differences, it can make you unstoppable. That's hot.
That's a great song, Mike. She just, in the middle of it, just stopped singing, though.
To look at a...
a flower.
A bug. An annual study by Investopedia found that you need to earn more than $4.4 million in your life to achieve the American dream.
Right.
If you work from 18 to 65, That is an average of around $100,000 a year, which is way more than most people make, but they say it's achievable for couples with two incomes. It all depends on what your definition of the American dream is, though. The one they used isn't the classic definition. It used to mean that if you worked hard enough, anyone could make it, buy a house, and leave their kids better off. Investopedia's definition is more specific now. Here are the eight things they factored in and how they got to the 4.4 mil. Number one, retirement. Right. 1.6 million saved to retire comfortably. Number two, owning a home. $930,000 over the course of your life. Number three, raising two kids. $832,000. Number four, owning two cars, new cars, $811,000. Number five, annual vacations, $179,000. Number six, a big wedding, $44,000. I think that's going to affect people less and less, as the kids nowadays don't seem to be doing it nearly
that's
as
true.
Much. Mm-hmm. Number seven, having pets, $37,000. Number eight, paying for your own funeral. $8,500. They factored that in. If that
That's
all
part
sounds
of the American dream,
it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess it is. If that all sounds excessive, their study last year was more modest and only looked at what you need to live comfortably. That number was still pretty high, though. You have to earn $3.4 million.
I always thought the American dream involved Paris Hilton.
I also think that really most Americans, that's not reachable. Correct.
Well, 1.7 million saved for retirement is not reachable by most people.
Not reachable for most people, so that's a problem for our society. California has just become the first state to ban sell-by dates. Now, when I saw that as the headline, I said, "What are they not caring about the health?" Not true. Wrong.
Use by dates instead.
Yes, they're simplifying how dates are used on products to cut back on food wasted stores and to reduce consumer costs. So you're not tossing food that's still perfectly fine and rebuying it.
Yeah.
The law takes effect on July 1st of 26. It prohibits the use of consumer-facing sell-by dates and also requires standardized language for date labels. So this is a good thing.
Right.
At that point, date labels can only say one of two things. Best if used by, to indicate peak quality, and use by to designate food safety. The problem with sell-by dates was that they weren't meant to be used by consumers. The dates were meant to indicate to stores when the stock needs to be rotated. But that led to stores nixing perfectly good food from shelves and consumers thinking that items past that date at home were spoiled, thus throwing them out, thus wasting food.
As a rule, I have to rely on the dates for something like a canned or a packaged something. But most stuff, I just use the sniff test. Oh, and here's one to know, Mike.
Yes.
If ham has a rainbow on it, don't eat it.
Now, explain that, please.
Because it starts to turn, and I think it's like an oil secretion. And so sometimes ham on the ham, like sliced
canned ham.
No, like deli ham or, you know,
like sliced ham that you would get.
Yeah, it'll have a rainbow on it. So don't eat that. That's bad.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Spiewak.
Thank you.
Write that down, ladies and gentlemen. And finally today, an angler casting his line in a Maryland creek. Reeled in. I've got this. You know, we argue like brothers, but this one is for Rob.
Thank you.
An angler casting his line in a Maryland creek reeled in something highly unusual for the state, a fish with a full set of human-like teeth. Jeremy Cooper said he initially thought he had caught a sunfish in Kanakachig Creek in Kemp Mill. But he soon noticed the fish had a mouthful of human-like teeth. Cooper sent photos of the fish to the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, which identified it as a red-bellied pacu. That is a South American fish related to the piranha. Pacu fish aren't native to Maryland waters, but have been spotted in the state's waterways seven times since 1995. Most recently in Gunpowder River in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Natural Resources said pacu are frequently kept in private aquariums, which was the likely origin of Cooper's catch. The scientific name for the creature is Fishus denismurficus. Thank you.
And Mike, here are the teeth.
Those are the
teeth. There they are. Look at those beautiful teeth. Isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? That's gross.
He knew, Mike, that something was unusual because no one in Maryland has a full set of teeth. So
there we go.
Had to call.
bada bing, bada boom. We will take a little break, and then it's reunion time.
Oh, stop
it's
it.
It's Groundhog Day. We'll be right back, everybody. It's easy to be your best self with DermGlowSkin.com. Just maybe not in the next couple of weeks. I'm kidding, of course. Just
stop
one
it.
Dose a week. And you're on your way to losing 21 to 26% of your weight while improving blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. But what if you don't like needles? Well, I got no news for you. Do you have an injection objection? Well, never fear. Sublingual semaglutide drops are here. You just put them under your tongue, and you're off to the races. And if you don't qualify for semaglutides or tirzepatide, we offer weight loss with Somorolin, which is available as an injection or tablet. It doesn't get any more convenient than that, kiddo. The products are delivered to your door in 7 to 10 business days. I take them, and you can qualify from the comfort of your own home. Afterpay is coming soon, so it's time to try DermGlow, making the best you that you can be. Inside and out. Start your transformation today at DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I've got a great ass.
I forgot I wrote that.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you were leaving our show Saturday,
yes.
Our Naked Greed, money-grubbing cocktail hour radiothon, and going to a Theater Kids reunion.
Yeah,
right?
It was hosted by one of our friends in McLean. She has a nice house, and she offered to host it. It wasn't very big. I do want to say, before we get to it, just a quick happy birthday to Eric Zoolander Stolginski.
Hi, Eric.
Happy housewarming. Actually went to his house before the cocktail party. Do you know that he lives...
What do you mean? Before you went to his house before you did the... You had a busy Saturday.
It was very busy. Did you know that he lives with his wife and three daughters in the house that he grew up in, and that his parents moved a couple houses down?
Oh.
So he's in the same house that he grew up in, and it's beautiful.
By the
way, happy housewarming, Eric.
The winner, if you haven't seen it, and if you're not a bonus subscriber, you won't see it now because we've put it on just for bonus show subscribers, Josh Soroka with Beetle
yes.
Josh costume, the clear winner of the
so good.
Of the costume night. It was a spectacular
show. Jaw-dropping.
So it was Zoolander's house, then the show, and then off to your Theater Kids reunion where
you were
dancing
curious?
And everybody was in leotards.
Mike, you wanted to know the ratio of boys to girls.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Okay, so for girls, there was Sandra, Kim, Kirsten, and Andrea. So that was four. And then for guys, there was 600 of us. No, I'm kidding. For guys, it was me and Pete and Dylan and Jeff and Chris and Mike. So 6 to 4. It was 10 people there.
Those poor women.
Well, I don't know. They seemed to have a good time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But, it was weird.
They had a good time.
I got there late because it was a 7 o'clock thing and we had the
It's great that you
party.
Get to make an entrance, right? You like that.
And I got to scrub all my tattoos off, so my face was glowing red. From all the rubbing alcohol.
And that sensitive skin of yours.
Oh, my. It was sloughing
That baby soft powder white skin.
It's like, do you remember, Mike, we used to type on onion skin paper?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, really. Just, you have to be very careful because even the slightest pressure could cause a tear.
Oh, I forgot Justin. So there was 11 people.
So are there. You really a little red when you get there with the...
I think I am, actually, because of the... I had to use baby oil around my eyes because I tried to use the rubbing alcohol, which is the more effective removal agent.
Right.
But when you're putting 90% pure isopropyl alcohol right under your lashes...
That's a little
not
tough.
Not great. No. But the smell was great. Made me want to get a jar of olives. I really
That's
enjoyed
it. It's exciting.
It.
And how the was the smell. Reunion?
The reunion was great.
Was there baby oil there too?
There was none baby oil there. There was it was so cool because our host Sandra, who is a good friend of mine from way back,
Sandra,
she said, "I hope you can come. We'll have lots of cola for you." I thought that was very nice.
Oh, so she was aware of your
everybody
problem.
Everybody is.
That's good. Well, that's good.
And so we get there, and there was some real funny moments because it had been, we're going on 35 years since graduation. And people were mentioning moments in plays, and people forgot that they were literally in the play. Sandra had a part in Our Town that we had to convince her that she was in because she had no recollection of it. It's just that much
When
time,
you said in the play, what, a play? Or
yeah,
was
well, it was we did Our Town, my senior year, and she was the stage manager's assistant, and she had a lot of shtick that she did. There were no lines, but she had a lot of shtick, and we all remembered her being very funny, and she had...
Was that the main show you did in your high school career?
No, the main one was My Fair Lady.
Okay. So was she in that too?
No, she did tech on that.
So Sandra was, you know, had to be convinced.
Yeah. And so, but it was fun. Justin, who is now, this is so funny. He, I think, was a freshman when I was a junior. So he was younger than me. And he was just a goofball in high school. Now he's a lobbyist on Capitol Hill.
Oh, probably a gregarious guy, right?
Yeah. It was great to see. It was great to see everybody. And as
anybody looked well preserved?
I'd say we all did very well. I think really, really we did. The ladies all looked great. I will say that.
Okay.
But I think Dylan, who was
anybody
always,
follically challenged like you?
Both Justin and I have shaved heads, which was a little bit of a surprise. But I said, yeah.
Help yourself to some punch and cookies.
But, you know, the party starts to break up, and then it's left with just me and Kirsten and Sandra and Justin. And we talk and talk and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I look at my phone, Mike, and
you,
it's...
Kirsten.
Yes.
Sandra.
And Justin.
And Justin. Mm-hmm. So, four of you?
Yeah. I'm not sure that...
Two couples?
Well, you'd have to ask Justin's husband about that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So it's really
Hi,
just
Bob.
You with the ladies, right?
Yes. And I look at my phone, Mike, and it's 3:30 in the morning. And I had no idea. It was just... It went... So much laughter. And then, you know, you say, I got to go. But then someone brings up another story. I didn't leave there till after 4 in the morning. And that's so not like me.
Yeah, Josh, I'm thinking the same thing you are, baby. I'm thinking.
You think all you want.
My baby does the hanky-panky. You ain't drinking.
No.
There's only one thing keeps you at a party if you're not drinking. And
no.
And you're that late.
Mike, it was simply talking and laughter. That's all.
How did your wife handle you when you arrived at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I got home. It was 4:30 when I got home.
4:30? My God.
And I went upstairs to change, and she said, you okay? I said, yep. That was it. She said, the next morning, she asked, was it fun? I said, yes, very fun.
Any text or phone calls checking in on you while you were there?
No, not at all. Not at all.
That is an amazingly late night.
Yeah.
I was shocked, and it ruined my yesterday, because when you go to bed at
You didn't fall off the wagon, did you?
No, not a drop. Are you kidding?
I worry about that.
No,
I just,
you mustn't. You mustn't.
Okay, all right.
At what point was a sleepover suggested?
They wanted Justin to stay because he had been drinking. And I said, Justin, you really should stay. Don't drive home. Because he lived, you know, in D.C., and that's a little bit of a hike.
Of all the people there, men and women, who was the best-looking person? Who was the person that maintained, you know, their youth and also was good-looking to start
That's
with?
That's tough. I would say Sandra. She has got a classic, almost like a Sophia Loren look about her. And she's,
ooh, exotic. And
she's got short hair now. Her mother and father were Italian off the boat. And so she's a pure Italian.
Oh.
And she's the one who just lost her mother last year.
Okay.
And I loved her mother growing up in high school.
Oh, and so that's a smart way. That's like taking a dog to a dog park.
Stop it. There was no angularity to
okay,
it.
But I'm glad you had a good time. That's
it
wonderful.
It was
what a late
and you know
night.
What? I was a little hesitant to go because, you know, I didn't know what would be triggering, what I would associate with these people, but there was just all good people there that all seemed to have turned out well, and they're all still fun.
I am so happy for you that without the sauce, you can go and have a night like that. That's special, and I'm glad you had a great time. And did anybody make any kind of ass of themselves if there was drinking?
No.
You certainly are the best judge of that now when you look at people cold sober at a late night
party. It was all very controlled, although I will say this. If I had been drinking and gotten there, I might have made the ass of myself.
Because it went so late.
Yeah, and it was also that environment of just... People, a lot of these people were people that you could just pick up with, even though you haven't seen them in 10 years. We were doing some like backwards counting. I've known Dylan since fifth grade. Think about that.
And by the way, if you're wondering, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Bob.
It is Bob Dylan, and that's how, hey. Mike, you finally revealed my age.
Bobo! Robbie!
Wow. That's so on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it?
I give it a 9.5. Wow. Only a half deduction because I was late. I wished I'd had the 2 extra hours to hang with those guys. It was so that's much awesome. Fun.
Have you made follow-up plans?
No, because so many people are from out of town. That's the weird thing. We had people come in from Colorado and Richmond and
well, this is a big deal.
Yeah, right. A lot of people came in, so it was cool. Right. Yeah.
Anybody fornicate?
I'm sure people did, but not at the party. I don't know.
All right. Very good.
Date was there from my senior year. That was Kirsten.
What's her name?
Kirsten.
The one that was there late.
Yeah, and she was staying there. She had to stay there late. But she,
Josh, this gets more interesting. Is it? This, wait, by the way, this is a classic Rob Spiewak interview. That pertinent and damning
drag it out.
Will be thrown out because he does that because in his mind he has to come clean, but he doesn't really want to.
Mike,
he didn't really
nothing,
want to share that.
There's nothing to come clean about. I just wanted to say that she has had the most successful.
Hi, Carrie. I was out till 4 a.m. with my prom date.
She loves that I'm out. She thinks it's exciting. I'm getting fresh night air and everything. Kirsten is the most successful in showbiz of all of us.
What's she
doing? She has had a play on stage in Los Angeles. She's done TV work. She's done episodes of Bones and like 2 or 3 other shows that she's done.
Like
and,
on camera?
Yeah, like as an actor.
Can we see a picture of Kirsten? What's her full name?
Kirsten Potter.
This was your prom date.
Senior year, and I don't know that. Josh, can you check on it?
Yeah,
Kirsten Potter.
No, you stop that. Take that right now, back. How dare you? That's horrible.
You got anything? Huh?
Did that stop you from being able to share about your? Is this?
Whoa, Rob.
Yep, told you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She's beautiful. And it was fun to talk to her. I hadn't talked to her really since my senior year. Being an actress, she's off social media. What's that?
Did you bring up your episode of Crashing?
It never came up. Because you know why? It seemed a little weak when she talks about, on Bones and when I'm directing the play. And I had another read through the director, but the solution to the murder isn't working. And I'm like,
she's like a prettier Bernadette Peters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was really fun to talk to her. So that's all. So much fun. What a great theater community we had.
Did you harbor any like fantasies in the back of your mind of a rekindled relationship? Oh, by the way, when you went to the prom, was it like when I took Candace Bushnell to the prom? Was it that kind of relationship?
Exactly that kind of relationship.
Rob and I are both eunuchs. Yeah. All right, we'll take it.
Mike, the whole night was innocent except for my raging erection.
Wow. There you go. Spiewak. Rock and roll. I'm glad we got that picture up there. Proud of you.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, we ought to have her on the show sometimes. Get a
Not sure
analysis.
She'd be interested.
Okay, very good. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with some beautiful video. One of the best ways to enrich your life is language. Oh, yes. I love it. So if you want to expand your horizons, you need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. We're talking Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, and you get lifetime access. Rosetta Stone immerses you in the language. Great for people who want to travel. No English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all 25 language courses that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Our listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. I am so excited to begin my journey with Rosetta Stone. You should be too. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off today at rosettastone.com/today and do it right now, ladies and gentlemen.
That. Some beautiful video.
And on Rosetta, you're taking Irish, aren't you?
Irish, the Irish dialect. No, I'm going to actually be studying Japanese. Because,
I remember that because you
we're still shooting,
there, right?
We're still shooting for maybe Japan next summer if we can
and
get
also
lucky.
Know thy enemy.
You know, you hear a lot about, is that a World War II joke that you just made?
Mike, it wasn't even a joke. I'm just saying that, well, maybe.
He's
I don't
a
know.
Sick man. You hear a lot about space travel, and you hear a lot about one of the most challenging times for a space capsule is re-entry.
Right.
And this came across my desk, and I was fascinated by it. This is a space re-entry, and some people that are describing it as you're looking out the window and seeing what it's really like being inside that capsule.
Take a peek re-entry, the really window scary. Seat is it's interesting.
Flying the Russian window. Soyuz is a little bit like maybe flying a meteorite home.
So this is a Russian ship.
Yeah. Okay. The Soyuz
and see the orange and purple flames of 3,000 degrees.
3,000 degrees.
This far
degrees.
From you. That's pretty freaking scary.
Like inches.
You're going 17,000 miles an hour, 8 kilometers
God.
A second.
Incredible.
Somehow you have to get rid of all of that speed. You have to apply
watch this
the
when
brakes.
Their heads go forward. See that?
Oh, wow.
Re-entry is about the most dangerous thing an astronaut will ever do.
Just amazing.
That
absolutely
is amazing.
Amazing.
And
really
what's
is.
Really bad is if you're on re-entry and you hit a deer. It's the worst.
And they're, you know, they're thoughtless.
They are.
I believe this comedian's name is Chris Munch.
Merry Chris Munch.
This is so funny.
Okay.
But it's so cringy.
Okay.
Check out this guy. I don't know where he came
Oops.
From.
Oops. Did you fall from Heaven's Bakery? Because you sure look like angel cake to me. And you're absolutely baking me crazy.
Oh, the mouth.
So just give me the old... Swipe right. Maybe we could bake something up together. What do you want?
And
oh,
his
God.
Necklace.
Maybe we could whip up a wedding cake.
The mouth Gross. Noises. Stop it. Yeah.
There he goes.
Mike, he has flour on his face.
Oh,
for all the baking
God. So you know, on this particular show, I play this sound effect a lot of times. I thought I'd play the video with it so you can see where it comes from.
Okay.
Because there really are some people that might not be aware of this, you know, this wonderful comedian, the great one. This is the Blabbermouth sound effects on video. Take
the honeymoon.
You are a blabbermouth! A blabbermouth!
There you go.
You know, in this day of people not having to fill a 24-hour broadcast schedule with programming, like when we had four channels,
right.
And you know, there's all this content now. There are people that have probably never seen the original Honeymooners.
Yes.
And it's only 39 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Stream them, buy them, watch them. They hold up like nothing you've ever seen before.
Just,
Gleason is amazing.
You know, a man who found his calling.
You've never seen it?
It's a comic actor, a comedian who found the perfect vehicle. And
exactly.
When that happens, it's by accident a lot of times, but mm-hmm. It works and it's spectacular. Now, I in this day and age, more than ever, I think we need to live and let live. I really do. I think we need to accept everybody for who they are. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I agree with this woman. She makes a tremendous
It's okay to be white. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be straight. It's okay to be gay.
Right.
It's okay to be you.
That's right.
But it's never okay to stop at a yellow light when we both should have made it, bitch.
This is valid. This is valid.
Just thought I'd share that with you. It's kind of the way I feel about it.
I think that's what Tim Walz should have said at the debate.
I think it's what Chris Munch ought to say, because I think it's time for another.
Oh,
Chris,
no, more of him?
You enjoyed the first one so much, I thought maybe you'd get a kick out
of
a little more Chris Munch.
Well, ladies,
Gross.
Saving Steven's here. And, oops, you kept me grilling. George Foreman style. That's right. Mother Spurge, she got the big one. Check this thing out. We got it loaded down with dogs, with buns, condiments. I think we got everything we need. Well, I guess the only thing we're missing is you.
Ah!
So grab your favorite cider salad and swing on by. Who knows? You know, maybe Mother will let you kiss the cook.
God, he's cringy, isn't he?
I'm my brainer, don't get the meat sweats.
Chris.
Oh, God. Boy.
Don't bring any more of him, please.
Leans into the mouth noises.
Yeah, this is pretty Rob heavy, video for me.
Well,
right
thank
now.
You, buddy.
I knew you'd like Chris Munch, and I have to qualify this by saying the following is politically incorrect.
All right.
Take All a right. peek at this, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
So, Rob, what did we watch?
What we just watched was an active workout regimen that was
a little
ruined
person.
At the end by a misunderstanding.
Thank you. And it's a little person that's doing the CrossFit rope exercise, and then they show a large guy with a sneaker on, and
yeah,
he pulls
the
sneaker and he
are...
knocks the guy.
Yeah. So very inappropriate, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike, yeah. You're horrible.
Before the storm comes, I still managed to get a little golf in on Saturday,
Attaboy.
And I changed the way I keep my clubs. I'm storing my clubs on club property now. So
great.
I always like to share a clip of me playing golf with you.
Wow! Was that a full set of irons?
Yeah, I got
that the guy threw into the pond.
Got rid of them in the lake. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's like putting your pool furniture in the pool to prepare for a storm.
Amen.
You're just getting ready.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my last segment for you right now, a musical ending. We end my little time with you
music.
With a musical ending. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen.
Four people singing.
A cappella. That was taken at Rob's theatrical reunion over
That's
the weekend.
Right. I was the guy on the left.
Yes, he was wonderful. We will be right back with more beautiful video for you, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show pre-hurricane edition.
Oh, it's become that?
Yes.
I thought tomorrow would be the pre-hurricane edition.
Yeah, well, 2 days before, Rob. We got to get ready early here. We'll
tomorrow's
right
the frantic again. Episode.
Yes, the frantic episode.
Oh, tune in for that.
God. Thank you, everybody. Hey, how would you like to be the most interesting person at the party?
Just
show up with a bottle of wine from an independent winemaker with a truly unique story. Fabulous. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get 6 bottles for just $39.99. Naked Wines believes that great wine is an experience that helps you connect with your friends, family, and community over a shared bottle of vino. Turn off the noise of the outside world and uncork a bottle to celebrate the little joys in life. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and put in our code TMOS for both the code and password. And you'll get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99, shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/TMOS and code TMOS for 6 bottles of wine, just $39.99. Bobby! Have a glass of wine. Enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Hey, Mike, Rob.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get to your video, could we squeeze in a shout out?
Sure. Oh, God. 100%.
I missed on Saturday.
Oh, the Naked Greed Show.
Yeah, we have an email here from Jim Reynolds. Tonight's cocktail party falls smack dab on my 47th birthday.
Oh, we missed it. Sorry, Jim.
Yep. Since my box wife can't sing to save her life and my kids don't care, can you guys please sing me the birthday song?
Oh, I think so.
All right. This is for Jim.
It is.
Jim Reynolds.
One, two, three, go. Happy birthday to
Reynolds.
You, Jim.
Many more.
Thank you. Happy birthday. Maybe I'll do it like Chris Munch.
I'm not a creep, but you know, there are certain people that when people come up, you know, I've just got a natural aversion to them. I usually say, hey, this guy. But I think you'll agree on all the guys in this tape are this guys, because Hallmark is doing a reality show to cast the lead in a Christmas movie. And so they're trying to select on their network, the Hallmark Channel, Mr. Christmas, would you let any of these guys come into your house at all?
Meet the men of Finding Mr. Christmas.
Because I bring a lot of good energy to the table. Maybe pull off a few flannels every once in a while.
Besides my amazing smile, there's Jonathan. The perseverance, the resilience,
charm. Somebody who cares, somebody who loves their family.
It takes a little bit of love.
Just for a moment, I'm not exactly sure what Isaac was trying to prove when he put a fire extinguisher on his shoulder.
Not one of those guys ever worked an honest day in their life.
Who cares, somebody who loves their family.
You're
it takes a little bit of Elijah. Love and kindness.
Quick drive. Buck.
Character, strong jawline.
Gage.
I will definitely be Mr.
Daxton.
I can sing, dance, and act. So here I am.
I'm ready for this step. I'm committed. Hey. I'm passionate.
I don't know which worse, those guys or Rob's internet connection.
I embody a lot of the ideals that Hallmark really has.
I want to be able to bring the magic that Christmas brings to everybody in their home.
I have a Parker on the baseball
team. Finding Mr. Christmas.
Mike, is it too late for us to be a part of this?
I think we would be. We would bring the jolly, would we not?
Yes. And a. Two thumbs up to Chris Arnold, who wrote Christmas Man.
Christmas Man. The Brian Butterfield Christmas Holiday Joy Store. Are you filled with Yuletide joy?
They're not stars. They're asterisks.
Butterfield.
Okay, are you still a member at El Wash, or are you just a patron?
I'm a member. I mean, I'm okay. Part of the. I can go to the one in Naples. I can go to the one in Fort Myers, and I can go to the one in Estero. All three, you can eat.
Don't show up too often because you might be acting a little sus, like this guy. This is a guy that just kept showing up to the car wash, but when he got there, he'd hide under a car to look at women's feet.
We're at these vacuums that Jesse Johnson was caught on camera. Employees that were here that day tell me that Johnson had a membership here, would get his car washed, and would wait. Police say he did this three times on one day to three women.
The first thing I thought of is, what if those moms had kids?
Rob Spiewak.
Keith Baker was concerned when a female customer asked for the cameras to be reviewed. She was sure someone was under her car while she was vacuuming.
Jesus.
Sure enough, going through the video footage, I watched it happen. She was already in the process of calling the cops.
28-year-old Jesse Johnson is charged with three counts of voyeurism through surveillance video and working with Gilbert police. The employees had a partial plate. They were keeping a lookout when Johnson returned.
Like, there's no way he's coming back for a third time. So he keeps walking.
That's enough of that. But can you?
Unreal. I mean, the perbs out there, right?
I mean, I don't get the feet thing. It's not my thing. But
let me just say, though,
under a car to
you
see
probably
the feet.
Don't. Car washes, as Josh will tell you, are a much bigger thing in this day.
Well,
there's so many.
Carrie worked at a car wash in college. So
there are so many down here, Rob. That I think in Cape Coral they are putting forward a measure to stop the construction of new ones. That's how many we have down here, and. Mm-hmm. I think we all, when we roll into, I'm very close to a college, and I think that when you're in a car wash, you occasionally see a person of the opposite sex washing their car or getting the vacuuming done and stuff like that. And it always seems to me that there are every now and then some very attractive people that are at the car wash, just like the grocery store or something like that. So, I mean, I can see where a perv might be posting there, but that is as nasty as it gets. Lock him up.
Lock him up. That's exactly. I got a picture of him. Oh, Mike, it is sad in Dallas, Texas. An Uber driver got upset when his elderly passenger asked for more legroom. And it did not go well. So let's go to this guy.
Yeah, and that 68-year-old victim appears to be significantly smaller than the rideshare driver who reportedly assaulted him.
Surveillance footage obtained by Fox 4 shows a man punching an elderly man in the back of the head Wednesday afternoon. The passenger says the attacker was his Uber driver.
How old are you?
I'm 68.
68, gotcha. At 3:20, an Uber driver in a Chevrolet Malibu arrives to pick up an elderly couple at Market Center Boulevard in Dallas. The couple begins to get in the back seats. 2.5 minutes, however, go by, and the car is still there. Then you see the elderly male passenger get out of the car, and he's punched in the back of the head by the driver before falling to the ground. The driver hovers above him.
The driver looks like he's 6'8".
Yeah, but still, that guy's little. He should have plenty of legroom.
No, but my point is the guy is in back of the driver, and the driver probably has his seat maxed out to the back and was asking for him to pull the seat up, and he can't do that because he's too tall. And then the guy probably says something. Because Could he's be. The children of the greatest generation, and the guy reacts
well,
like that.
I don't feel. I don't think the guy said anything. Let's get to know the victim.
Out of the car,
and suddenly hit me like that.
Suleiman Gaba is the man who was hit. You say you were just telling him that there wasn't enough room in the back seat, and you needed more leg room.
Yeah, I cannot sit in the back seat. Very small place, you know.
Gaba says his complaint about a lack of leg room.
Then he struck me in the back of the head. It hurt like hell.
Did he think you were Albert Einstein?
He thought I was with my mustache that I look like Albert Einstein. And before I knew it, I was underground underneath the exhaust pipe of the car.
The good thing is when he went down, he could really see the feet.
There you go, yeah. I only wish he'd hit me at a car wash.
Now let's close with this, Mike. A wombat. Do you even know what a wombat is? I always picture
it is a marsupial,
thing.
I believe.
It is. And they have a fascinating way of protecting themselves that's made even more fascinating by animation that looks like it came from NBC News about
Rob,
10 years ago.
Before you go on. Oh, yeah. Hold on just a sec. Before you go on, you asked me what a wombat is. I know it's a marsupial, but at American University, if you're getting a wombat, that means that, what it involves is going to the right dorm, and then she meets you at the door, and you're supposed to cut me off now when I'm talking
Mike,
about the
American. There were no wombats on prom night.
Thank you very much.
I was actually hoping to get to the end of that. No Enjoy wombats. Not only this information, because we like to inform, but also the beautiful narration and animation.
Wombat is attacked by predators. It quickly runs back to its den and blocks the entrance with its butt. This is because a wombat's butt is mostly made of thick cartilage, which is tough and hard for predators to scratch or bite. If a predator tries to follow it into the den, the wombat will use its butt to crush the predator's head against the ceiling. In this way, the wombat can even kill the predator by twerking it to death.
Mike, it's a wombat.
Twerking it to death.
Exactly.
What a way to go. What a
what way
to
death,
go.
Death, where is thy sting?
Death by twerking. All right, I got to go get the box truck and go empty my
Good
wife's
luck,
business
Mike.
Out.
Good luck.
And,
I hope it goes
We
smoothly.
Will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Wednesday, the day for Milton. What a nice nerdy name for a hurricane,
It's
right?
named after the guy from Office Space. The guy who wants a stapler.
Another name that we will never forget.
Yeah.
Here. It's very exciting. We'll be back with a new episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, and, through the hurricane day. I'll hopefully be talking to you the whole time. I really hope so. We'll see. Anyway, for Josh Soroka, thanks to Matt Soroka also for joining us on
Professor
the show.
Matt
Professor
Soroka.
Matt Soroka, we appreciate that. For Rob Spiewak and also Josh Soroka, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Settle down, Trip.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Cottonelle Bath Tissue.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.